These are the voyages of the podcast Exploding Barrel. It's continuing mission to mock Edge Guy and talk about video games and boldly do things, but mostly mocking Edge Guy. Da 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 da! Welcome to the Exploding Barrel podcast for July. Yeah, July. July 22nd. It's like July, June. Now it's July.
Here, don't make me laugh while I'm drinking this water next to your precious,
oh gosh,
precious games here.
Yeah, yeah. I went on this, you know, oh yeah, Exploding Barrel podcast. Yeah, July 22nd, 2016. Hi, Mike, AJ. Yeah, I went on a spit. We haven't had like a retro video game store here in a long time. We finally have one now, and I've been going a bit nuts there. I went in the one time, I ordered Castlevania Bloodlines in, and that came in, and then they just also had Chrono Trigger and Mario RPG there, so I got all of those, and it was a pretty penny. I'm not going to go into the specifics. That's a fun game, though, Bloodlines.
Yeah.
I haven't actually played it before. I'm enjoying it. It's a good. I mean, it's kind of like Castlevania 4, but the whip physics are more like the old games. Like, you can't do, like, the spinny around things.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool, though, because, like, the levels, it's not just all, like, Castlevania stuff. Like, there's, like, some globe-trotting stuff. Like, the first level was very much just, like, the first level from the first game, and then after that, it kind of gets neat.
It's like a freaking novel in the back of the box.
Yeah, and there's two characters. The one has, you know, like, the whip, and the other one has, like, a spear or something, so that's kind of neat. Yeah, I'm a big fan of those classic Castlevania games.
Taste the sweat dripping into your mouth as you try rescuing yourself from diabolical traps.
Of course. This is one of, like, timeline-wise, this one's relatively later, too. This is, like, early 20th century. It's, like, during World War II.
But in the end, make sure you've saved enough strength to scream.
To scream. It's kind of weird, like, the boxes actually pretend these games are, like, nothing scary about Castlevania, right?
I don't think so. Yeah. Unless skeletons really give you the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah. So, anyway, but yeah, it's super fun. Anyway, so our show is actually about Star Trek Beyond, and maybe Star Trek movies in general a little bit, but we went to see it last night. And we'll talk about it, we'll do the special zone, and say goodbye, then we'll, like, talk about it with spoilers after that, so that people can leave. So, but, just kind of start here, what'd you think?
Really good.
Yeah, really good.
Really good.
You know, this is actually the first time I think we've done, like, a Star Trek episode, since we've done topics that aren't just gaming.
Yes.
Necessarily, and, I think some people know, but I'm a pretty big Star Trek fan.
Yes.
I love stuff, and you enjoy it, but you're not, like, a crazy fan like me.
At your height, I mean, you may still be able to do this, I used to be able to tell you, like, a plot point from a TNG episode, and you could give me the season, episode number, and episode title.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You were pretty deep. That semester in Toledo,
yeah,
you were pretty good at this stuff.
Yeah, and because when I was really getting into it was when they were releasing those DVD box sets, and I was just watching them constantly. And yeah, and really the Next Generation Deep Space Nine era is more my thing as opposed to the original series stuff, but I still like all of it. And I will say, I guess, you know, a lot of people are hard on the Abrams movies. I've enjoyed all of them.
Yeah. The reason people don't like the Abrams movies, they're like, it took the cerebral element out of Star Trek and reduced them to dumb action movies. And it's like, look, you want to go watch Star Trek the motion picture, be my guest. But that movie's boring. It's just people standing around talking.
I mean, can people say that? But again, almost all of the movies are action movies in a way, except for Star Trek 4, which is a comedy. Yeah. So.
But what this movie does get right, and I mean, I think it gets everything right, but what you can't argue against, it gets the relationships between the crew.
Right.
And perfectly.
I think for the people who didn't like the other movies, what they'll like about this one, I mean, it's not like a deep-thinking movie still. It's still kind of an action movie, but there's a better sense of discovery and a better sense of wonder. There's, like, one sequence, and I don't give much away, but they kind of just are showing something off. And, you know, we're kind of at that era now where special effects don't dazzle you very much anymore. But this is just like a long extended sequence of showing something off, and it was gorgeous. The music was so good during it.
What made it was the music,
too. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. But yeah, there was definitely more of a sense of wow and kind of discovery that maybe you didn't get with the other movies.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just, I guess I give him too much. One of my favorite things was that this felt like the first time where McCoy kind of got as much screen time as he should have.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the first time where he was treated as the third most important crew member, like he should be.
Yeah.
Whereas the other ones, they kind of put Uhura more in that spot. And Uhura still does things here, but...
Well, that's the nice thing about this movie. Everybody does things. Whereas, like, in the last movies, characters like Chekhov and Sulu, they got, like, their scene where they did something, mm-hmm. you know? But I feel like this one, everyone integrates into the plot much more naturally. It's not like, okay, here comes the Uhura scene where she does something. It's like, and part of that is because throughout the movie, and again, I'll keep it vague, but they're kind of put into like pairings.
Yeah.
That are also, and they're more unique than we usually get.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing too is it doesn't focus as much on Kirk and Spock. In fact, Spock has almost a much smaller role in this movie than you would expect, I would argue.
Maybe a little bit, yeah. It's not quite as, yeah. It's not quite as heavy Spock and Kirk. It's not so much about the Spock cock. Spock and Kirk release. I accidentally combined
Careful
Kirk
now.
And Spock. And guess what happens when you do that?
You get Spurk.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah, but it's like, you know, yeah, we know they're friends. They have a unique relationship. That's good. So we're kind of almost like a point now. Like, okay, yeah, we get that. Mm-hmm. We kind of look at some of the other relationships and stuff. But yeah, Penny's doing her thing where she just plays around on the couch and like digs into it. It's very funny.
Sounds good.
Penny's a dumb dog. So
a lot of people's trepidation going into this was directed by Fast and Furious director Jeremy Lin. There's a motorcycle in the movie.
Oh, God.
They've ruined Star Trek.
Yeah. This time they've ruined Star Trek for sure. We've already said it 10 times by now. You know, this kind of thing. Well, and I will say this, actually. Just getting the early reactions, it doesn't seem like it's happening again where all the Star Trek people just hate it. It seems like the Star Trek people actually like it this time, maybe.
Have they just given in and accepted this?
Well,
I think
it's that, but I think there is a little bit of, like I said, like that sense of discovery and wonder. And it is nice to not have it, like, be on Earth and have, like, you know, kind of the Earth stuff and whatnot. But, no, see, people seem to be embracing this one a bit more. And, again, I still defend Star Trek 09 and Into Darkness. And Into Darkness seems to be really unpopular recently.
Right.
So, I don't know necessarily why. But, yeah, that's a whole other thing. But I think this was a very good... This is probably my favorite movie from the summer, to be honest.
Yeah, it was excellent. I laughed, I cried.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
I whooped and hollered. It was a good time.
There were some big, like, want to jump out of your seat and cheer moments, man.
Mm-hmm.
I was into it. I think being a big Star Trek fan helps.
And yeah, there's a lot of remarkably obscure references in this movie that we'll talk about,
I'm not giving
too.
Anything away, yeah, but if you liked the show Enterprise, it's like some surprising references, you know. So it was fun. But before going on, Star Trek movies in general, do you kind of have a favorite one?
I mean, honestly, it's probably 09.
Yeah, 09.
I mean, before that, First Contact.
So what's your relationship with the original series movies like, then?
I've never seen one from start to end.
You ever seen Wrath of Khan from start to end?
I have not. I've seen most of it in chunks, but I've never watched it start to end.
You should do that.
I like the parts I've seen, obviously. And same thing with, what the hell's Four's subtitle?
Voyage Home.
Yeah.
Whales.
Yeah, the whales. Everyone likes the whales. I've never seen a single frame of Five.
Well, I thought Five's not good. I don't think it's quite as bad as some people make it out to be, but it's not very good.
I've seen little bits of Search for Spock. That movie's weird.
Well, yeah, it's not a good one.
Then
what about Six? The Undiscovered Country, the last one they did.
Yeah, also never saw a frame of that movie.
That
I don't even know what it's about.
That one's pretty good. It's about the Undiscovered Country. What's not to get? But
I liked Generations as a kid because this is when we were watching our Flintstones meet the Jetsons thing. I was like, crossovers are fun. So like, I like that aspect of it. But I recognize now that's not really that great of a movie.
No.
But I think First Contact, before the Abrams era, is definitely my favorite. Again, because I didn't really get Wrath of Khan in
First Contact. Like, it's really the only one of the I love Next Generation. It's really the only Next Generation movie that is
watchable.
Not watchable, but it's the only one that's good. It's the only one you can say, like, yeah, it's a great movie. Yeah. All the other ones
was pretty bad.
Insurrection was just boring and cheap looking.
Yeah, and then
Nemesis was just too dark and kind of dumb and gloomy and
they took
depressing.
Way too seriously.
Right. So, I mean, I can go through them all real quick. Motion picture, kind of boring. You appreciate it a little bit more when you're older. It's definitely the one that's the most like an episode of Star Trek, I guess.
Right.
I mean, in fact, it was just taken. It was like supposed to be the pilot for the reboot of the show. Was the script? But it's kind of odd. It's like trying to be 2001: A Space Odyssey sometimes or something like that. Kind of just boring.
And they were really proud of their special effects to the point where it's like, let's look at this amazing computer imagery for 5 minutes.
Like, there's like a sequence where Spock goes into like a nebula or something, and it's like a 5 minute long sequence, and that's a lot of time. It's like, oh my gosh, just like him going through the nebula and they play music. It's like, all right, yeah, we get it. Cool.
Yeah.
Ride the Khan's a classic. It's great. One of the best ones. Three, I don't like a whole lot. It's kind of strange, forgettable. Four is great. It's funny. It is made a Star Trek comedy. It worked out well.
And it was probably really cheap to make that movie, too.
Right, because it was mostly just in San Francisco. I think that's kind of probably, yeah, it's like some, like, a lot of them kind of get cheap. Like, Five infamously had, like, a small budget, and that you could tell pretty blatantly at certain points, and that's kind of the big problem with it. But yeah, there's moments of Five that I actually like. All right, the Kirk, Spock, McCoy stuff in Five is actually kind of nice, so I don't mind that so much. And then six is good. It's a pretty good send off for the crew.
Isn't it weird to think that there were six movies made?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
you don't like comprehend it. So you really sit down and you're like, wow, they made six of these in a row,
and a lot of them were overlapping while Next Generation was on the air.
Yeah,
Five and Six, I think, yeah, were just made while
Generations. Yeah,
and then right after Next Generation ended, they started making those movies, and Generations, it's like, it probably is the second best one. It's just, it's kind of got some dumb things in it. But yeah, it's not a great movie. And then, you know, you're always blowing up the ships. I feel like it was too early to blow up the Enterprise D. I love that ship. Mm-hmm. In general, First Contact's a lot of fun. You got the, it's definitely the one with, like, the biggest stakes, and like it's the one that's the most about like Picard.
Yeah, well, it extrapolated on what was arguably the best two episodes of
TNG. Well, that's what that and Wrath of Khan, and well, they're like kind of the only ones that are like sequels to episodes. Even though Wrath of Khan isn't a sequel to like one of the best episodes, it was a good episode, Space Seed. But it was cool that it was a sequel, and like this one was like, yeah, the best episode of Next Generation is probably one with the Borg, so let's do that. And here's the Borg movie. It was good. Insurrection was just a strange small story that wasn't very good or made much sense. Then Nemesis was like the really overwrought kind of depressing one, and they're all getting old, and it's just like, all right, let's stop doing this.
Yeah.
So yeah. I liked 09 a lot. I thought that was a great. I thought as far as like reboots go recently, and I like the way that it's still kind of like, it doesn't, like, disregard everything. Like, you have that timeline split, but there's, like, that time. It's, like, it's very clear that other timeline is there, and things from that timeline were, like, in the movie, like, Spock, mostly, and were affecting it and, you know, stuff. And they still would acknowledge the stuff that would have happened earlier in the timeline.
Yeah, from, like, Enterprise and things like that.
It's stuff like that. And I think that's why I like it so much, even when they have those, like, just the references to Enterprise, because it's nice for me to know.
It grounds it in everything that came before.
Exactly. As long as you, because, like, that's kind of the thing with reboots sometimes, right? Like, you feel like, oh, everything that happens doesn't matter, before this doesn't matter. And with Star Trek fans especially, you're very attached to that. So just saying something about something that happened before, even if it's just an offshoot, you know, even if somebody orders a Cardassian sunrise in Star Trek 09, with, like, what they did, it makes me happy. I'm like, oh, cool. That's good.
Yeah. Right. It's all still there.
I guess Into Darkness, one of the problems with it is that you have to compare it to Wrath of Khan so much, and that's just, like, probably the best one.
Mm-hmm.
But I still thought it was a very good movie. Fun. All these reboot movies have been very slick. You can say what you want about them. They're very good. And I think this newest one was the best shot one. There were some just, like, stuff with the camera and the effects that were just, yeah, really, really cool. So, but yeah, you should see it. We're going to talk about it in a bit more spoilery detail after we're done with the special zone, but I thought it was really, really good. If you have any interest in Star Trek, I think it's worth seeing.
Agreed.
All right, so special zone, you're playing some World of Warcraft again?
Yeah, so the pre-patch to Legion was released on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing this for the last few expansions now, where like all the systems for the expansion are patched into the game, but none of the content. So like, you can't still get past level 100. The Demon Hunter's not there yet. The new lands aren't. But they did some really huge retooling of a lot of the classes. For my main class, Shaman, they got rid of mana as a resource for the elemental and enhancement specs.
They've been doing that for, like, solely for a lot of classes, kind of getting rid of mana, well, except for, like, mage and stuff like that.
What they've realized is having a depleting bar like that, it just forces you to use the same rotation.
Well, and it's plus you, then like you, potion management becomes this important thing, and that's kind of not fun necessarily. Right.
So like, you know, there's a whole new resource with Shaman now, and the way that's handled. Also, the other thing they're doing that I kind of like, specking in the game, which was always like you could dual spec like two of your three talent trees and do that. You can respec whenever you want, however often you'd like. The thing that made it hard to do in the past, though, is like for Shaman, for example, if you were Enhancement, you wanted, I believe, if I'm getting this right, Stamina. If you were Elemental, you want Intelligence. So you'd have to have, like, maintain two sets of gear.
Yeah.
Well, now it's just like, okay, all Shaman use Intellect, and all Warriors use Strength.
Yeah.
So your gear is fluid between.
That is nice. And I know they even got rid of some stats.
Multi-Strike
which was stupid.
I liked Multi-Strike.
Whatever.
It just felt cool, and it proc'd. That's the other thing, too. Combat animations have been overhauled. They have a lot more oomph to them. A lot stronger sound design as well. I was going to say, for the Hunters, they actually changed one of the specs around entirely to become a melee spec.
Yeah, it's a bit of fun. Yeah, well, the Hunters had a melee spec kind of in the early days, and I think they got rid of it and brought it back. But yeah, they did a lot of stuff. The Rogue has an entirely new spec that has some aspects of the old spec combat.
Now it's called Outlaw.
Outlaw, and it's like the kind of like, you have like a pistol.
Yeah.
Which is neat. In general, they seem to make all the specs a bit more, like, not unique.
They feel more like subclasses.
Right. Yeah, and just when I was playing as my Death Knight, what I kind of noticed is a lot, they got rid of a lot of, they always kind of do this where they try to purge some, like, skills, because, you know, they hit this point where there's so many skills.
Yeah, there's always redundancies like, right. And ones that just don't get used.
But it seems like so many of them now are tied into your spec.
There's very few class-wide.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so, you know, as a Death Knight, a lot of my things are, you know, I'm a Frost Death Knight. They're all kind of frost-based.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I was an Unholy, it'd be much more about the diseases and all that stuff.
Yeah, I like that aspect of it a lot. Also, the overhauls of the graphic engine are nice. I can max out everything silky smooth, 60 frames per second. They did that increase to the draw distance, which is really nice.
I actually really like the new transmog system, where
I haven't gotten to play with it too much yet.
Well, there's two things I like about one. It's like once you have an item, as long as it's bound to you, you will always have that appearance.
Yeah, you don't have to keep the item.
You don't have to keep it somewhere. Exactly.
Taking up space.
Right. And then also just like the preview for seeing it is just much faster. You don't have to like click on it and see what it looks like. It just like it shows you like a gallery of like it on your head.
It's very similar to what ended up in Diablo 3's transmog system, actually.
Also, I was glad since like Frost now is by default dual wielding, they just sent me in the mail to like single handed weapons that are decent enough.
Like, yeah. They even like I logged in with. Which one? One of my old characters. Because I'm trying to decide what class I want to boost to 100 when Legion comes out.
Yeah, me too.
So I've been playing around, and like I have like a level 10 something or other. And it's like, here's some better weapons. Oh, it was a monk. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So yeah, I am slowly getting myself super amped for this expansion. I don't know why I'm so excited right now.
I mean, I know.
I'm more into it than you are, I think.
I'm not, well,
I started reading, like, a bunch of lore wikis.
And, I always do it.
Because, well, and the Legion's a complicated lore because it goes back so far. So, like,
Now there's an alternate timeline.
The alternate timeline doesn't matter as much.
Now. Well, Gul'dan does.
Gul'dan is the big difference. So, like, I had to, like, refresh myself. Okay, like, Gul'dan died. Now he's back. Which Gul'dan is this? Okay, got this. Skull. Got that. Okay, we're good there. Remembering who the hell Sargeras is.
Sargeras.
Which is basically Satan.
Yeah, he's Warcraft Satan. And he's still the card they haven't played yet in World of Warcraft. He's like the one they had to hold on.
Isn't the Tomb of Sargeras
going to be a
raid in this or something? Or a dungeon?
Did
they say that?
Maybe. It's a thing. Yeah, it's in the Broken Isles, I think.
Okay, and I know what that is now. I'm all caught up on that.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen the movie. I think we're going to try to go next week because it's at the Cheap Theater here, so I can finally see it.
It's good. It's got a lot of basically the plot of Warcraft 1.
Right.
Kind of. But yeah. Actually, I just ran Karazhan, Medivh's Tower, just kind of for fun, solo, which was a really cool instance. As far as, like, theming goes, one of the best ones. And it had some neat encounters. Like, it had, like, this giant game of chess,
mm-hmm.
which actually took, like, a little work to do solo. And I had to, like, read a guide on how to do that. But it was a really cool thing. And it's going to be somehow important in Legion. I'm not exactly sure how. But and also, there's a lot of rumors that it's going to be the next
Hearthstone expansion.
So kind of timely there.
So what I'm really excited for Legion is the artifact weapon system.
Yeah, I think that'll be fun. I think that'll be fine.
Really rad. You can still transmog those, too, if you really don't like the way they look.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think that's a cool kind of idea. You know, it's having other things to level up, and, you know, you're leveling up your weapon is kind of neat. Again, yeah. It's like that worry where it's like, there's going to be the way. One. Yeah. Like, people will min-max it and figure it out.
From what one thing I was reading said, like, getting 80% of it filled is not going to be, like, a problem. Like that'll just kind of happen in the course of playing the content. You have to kind of have to grind out that last 20%. So, I mean, I think it's possible to just fill it.
Well, I still think, like, once you're raiding, I still feel like weapons have to drop, right? Like, something better has to come along. I don't know, because those are kind of, that's kind of...
Maybe there's, like, enhancements for the
artifact weapon. I feel like the artifact weapon will be fun while you're leveling. Once you're raiding, getting a new weapon is kind of like the most fun loot you can get.
True, right?
I don't think you want to get rid of that. So
if I have Doomhammer, I'm going to be pretty happy with Doomhammer.
Yeah, you think. You'll get tired of Doomhammer.
I don't know.
I think I'm going to get tired of it. Especially when you see, you know, 200 other people walking around with Doomhammer.
Well, that's the other cool thing, too, is they all have, like, the alternate looks and everything.
Yeah, I know, but even still, you know, what, there's going to be 10 of those, if that.
So. Five.
Five,
yeah. And then different colors for each of the five.
Sure. I mean, that's fine.
There's the one, it's a paladin one, I think, that looks like that like, Draenei purple crystal hammer really? You like. It's like a one-handed version of it.
Oh, see, that's kind of the thing, is, like, it's like, they talk about stuff like, oh, fulfill your fantasy and, you know, whatnot. But for Frost, definitely, I still want to be one hand, like, a two-handed weapon. Now I have to be, like, a dual-wielding guy, which doesn't really... With my vision of it as well, but at the same time, I don't really want... It's, like, such a stark difference for me between being, like, a Frost Death Knight and an Unholy Death Knight in terms of, like, what your character is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the one feels like, you know, it's, like, kind of like a... It's like evil and sinister, and then the other one, you're, like, you're like, dripping diseases and stuff. You know, it's, like, gross. You know, it's kind of different between being Arthas. Like, you know, basically, that's Arthas, the Frost Death Knight, right? That's what you think of. And then, like, I don't know, like, all the other things are, like, more... straight-up plague stuff. So, but that's just my two cents. Like, I understand one of them had to be the dual-wielding one. It almost would have made more sense for me for Unholy to be. But that's just my opinion.
What do you know?
All right, exactly. I do think it's good that it's, like, it's not an option to be dual-wielding or
two-handed.
It's like there are subclasses and subclasses now. It's like, all right.
Do you play with the new action camera in the game?
No, not really.
I actually got a pretty good mod called Dynamic Cam. That will adjust the presets for the action camera based on what you're doing. So, like, when you go on your mount, it'll give you, like, a pullback camera. When you go inside, it comes a little closer. When you talk to someone, it shifts to the side.
Yeah, again, that stuff that'll be fun enough for leveling. But when you're, like, raiding, you have to get those freaking mods and stuff that let you pull the camera back further. Because, you need to see shit. So, but yeah, it'll be a fun expansion, I think.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm
ready to go. All right, anything else you want to talk about, or you want to just get to our Star Trek spoiler?
We should do that. We're going long here.
Okay. Well, then, if you're leaving now, we'll see next week. We'll do the whole stinger at the real end, you know, about us. But, yeah, we're going to wait a little bit and talk about Star Trek Beyond, and specifically, you know. That'll be great. Okay, we're back. So what was your favorite thing in Star Trek Beyond?
Ooh, just, like, one thing. I don't know. Okay, you know what I really liked about the movie?
What?
I love the way they handled Leonard Nimoy's death.
I tell you what, the whole movie was a very classy movie with a lot of the things like that.
Because, like...
It would have been so easy to just not talk about it.
Yeah, and they acknowledge it in a way that didn't feel cheap.
Right.
Like, it's not like they're like, oh, good, he's dead, we could do this plot point. Like, right. It never felt like that. It was very respectful. It made sense to the story completely.
Yeah.
And then that moment at the end where young Spock is going through Ambassador Spock's things, and because he was thinking about leaving Starfleet, and there's that picture of the original crew from the original
like
films.
Like, all old, and like,
I'm like, oh,
it's like so good.
And the music plays, and I got misty eyed.
So
I couldn't
good.
Help it. That
it's
was
so good.
That was just a great moment.
But that, even the tribute to Anton, the guy who played Chekhov, who died not too long ago. It, yeah, very classy movie the way he handled that stuff. But again, I do just like how we really did get like that. It's hard to do anymore with these sci-fi movies. Like, oh, look at how cool this thing looks anymore.
Well, so what makes that fly-through of Yorktown so spectacular, we all know it's computer-generated. It's just designed so well.
Right, it's so cool.
That's what it all comes back to.
And it's kind of something I've seen. Like, when you see, like, that the Enterprise, like, underwater and like the flying river through these of the tubes city. And it's stuff. So
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that was
and like
just,
the music.
The
playing.
Music there was incredible. That was such a great sequence.
See what though? Like once they were setting that place up and like showing all the happy people, they're like, "Oh, this place is gonna be in danger by the end of this movie."
Yeah,
Yorktown. But yeah, I just love that. And then kind of fast forwarding a bit, like having that final battle in Yorktown, where in like the when the new ship they're in Franklin.
The old ship.
Yeah, when it like jumps out of the water and intercepts those things and the music plays.
So you didn't see it coming.
I didn't see it coming. I was like, oh, fuck yeah.
I knew it was coming. I was like, this is going to be sweet. This is going to be sweet. It's sweet.
It's so cool. These movies are very good at like getting the scale of those ships looking
good. That's something I felt like was communicated well. And, you know, between the ship crashing into San Francisco in the last movie and things like that. Yeah, they definitely have done a good job with that.
And we've seen a lot of, you know, Enterprises blowing up this point. This was a pretty fantastic looking one.
That was ripped apart.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is one thing that I will maybe complain about all three of the movies. There are times where it gets a little dark and graphic. And there's so many people getting sucked out into space in these movies. Like, okay.
Yeah, that's the worst thing that could happen, I guess, when you're on a spaceship.
And, like, that poor claw girl that with the head.
She got disintegrated.
Right, it's like, I knew she was biting. I was like, oh my gosh, this poor girl. But, yeah, it's just like those things. Like, I wouldn't really need to have this in here. I get, you know, we have to establish that the villains are bad and they're, you know, or evil murderers, but...
So what would you think of the villain and his whole arc and his reveal and everything?
I thought it was I don't think it was spectacular. I thought it was good. I mean, it's a little I don't know if stretch is the word, but it's like a little bit like you get his motivation, but you're also kind of like, well.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't get is like he why does he hate the Federation so much? Like, you got stranded, like they can't find you. It's not like their fault.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he blamed the Federation for what happened to him.
Well, I don't think it was necessarily that, but just, like, he felt marginalized, like he was a warrior and a soldier, and the society evolved to a point where it didn't,
So he was a starship captain, that's pretty good.
I don't think he cared about it. I think he was just, like, doing, charting, planets and stuff, and he thought it was, boring, stupid work. I think he felt marginalized. Which, you know, whatever. But yeah,
like, how cool was it though when you're looking at security footage? You're like, oh, they're in Enterprise era uniforms,
right? Exactly. And it's not like it was like very clearly like that. All the Enterprise callbacks were just super. Like even weird stuff, like they mentioned the Makos. I was like, whoa,
the Zindis
and the Zindi. Yeah, they mentioned the Zindi Wars. Like, oh my god, this is the first time anything that wasn't Enterprise said the word Zindi.
Yeah,
right. Let alone like the flashy new movie. So yeah, again, I like when they do that stuff. But there was just like surprisingly large amount of callbacks to Enterprise. And yeah, like even that ship they were in, the Franklin, looked much more like the NX-01 than it did the new Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool. I was still a little confused because I think they said the Franklin was the first Warp 4 ship, even though it happened after the NX-01. The NX-01 was the first Warp 5 ship. I'm like adjusting my glasses.
Do we know what happened after the NX-01?
It had to have. Wow. I already explained this to you.
I was confused. Explain it again.
All right. Here's the timeline, right? NX-01, first Warp 5 ship.
Uh-huh.
Then Zindi Wars.
Uh-huh.
Then after the show, Romulan Wars. Our guy fought in Zindi Wars, then Romulan Wars, then became captain of a ship, the Franklin.
Doesn't mean the ship wasn't there, and they're like, maybe that's why he's pissed. He got a hand-me-down ship.
I still don't know.
I'm just saying, that's very possible.
Maybe, but I still, maybe, sure, okay.
Doesn't mean it was built after the Zindi Wars. He just became captain of it after the Zindi Wars.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still not super convinced there were very many, like... I always kind of assumed the NX-01 was the first of its kind in, like, having a saucer section and stuff like that, too. But who knows? Also, the original Enterprise did not have the ability to separate a saucer. That was the Enterprise-D. Oh, I guess because Spock came back in time, they was like, we should probably put the saucer section to separate. We didn't think about that before, but...
But how good was it though when they're doing that time lapse of the new ship being built?
Oh, yeah.
It's the Enterprise A.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was wondering, like, is it going to be the Enterprise A? And it is. That's pretty cool. We really never saw too much of the original Enterprise A. It was at the very end of 4, and then it was in 5 and 6. And that was about it for it. It'll be cool in the next movie to, like, see the inside of it, see kind of, you know, how different it is. And I do like that it is, like, the other Enterprise A, which is pretty much the same ship. Mm-hmm. Wasn't until, you know, like, B and C and, like, they kind of change it up a bit. But, yeah, we're getting there now. We're, like, just four or three away to the Enterprise D.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but, yeah, but, like I said, And I liked how much McCoy there was. And
yeah, I think the way, like I said before.
Well, in the show, there was always a lot of McCoy and Spock, but we haven't had a lot of that in the movie.
Yeah, so I was glad to see, like, McCoy and Spock get teamed up this movie.
A lot.
I think putting Kirk and Chekhov together was really cool.
Yeah.
Sulu and Uhura together, like I don't think they ever talked to each other in the other movies, it feels
right.
like.
And he had, and Scotty was, like, kind of the new character. Who was, like, I liked her. She was, like,
Jayla, yeah, I liked her a lot. She was a good character.
And I think one thing that I liked a lot, I think some people complain about, but I think most people were actually kind of on board with it, was the sabotage music scene.
Oh, I love that.
That was fun.
I love
that. That was so cool. No, especially that beat when they play, like, the big note.
Yeah, when the station engages
right.
the jammer.
And they're doing it a little tongue-in-cheek, like, oh, this is funny, right? It's like, yeah, it is.
Well, again, in 09, that song came up when he put on classical right. music in the car he hijacked. So, like, it wasn't, like, out of nowhere.
Right.
And I thought it made total sense. It was a great callback to the first film. It was funny in the scene. It was just really fun to watch that whole sequence.
Right, exactly. And you had to, you know, do something. It was so good. Yeah, it's definitely a movie I'm excited to kind of see again and, like, pick up on more things and maybe kind of learn a little bit more about the bad guy and see what his motivation was. But see if there's any more hidden, like, clues or other things. It's going to be interesting once that new show is out. There's going to be, because I know it's not going to be in that timeline, but I wonder if there will be any kind of tie back or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting to think.
Mm-hmm, right.
And they did say they're going ahead with a fourth.
Yeah, they announced even before this. And we'll see how this one does. I think it'll do pretty well. It seems like any more ratings have a pretty big impact on a movie's gross. This movie's, I think the reviews are going to, I think the word of mouth is going to be good. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, I'll tell you right now, I think it's definitely worth seeing.
What's its competition right now? Ghostbusters and...
The new Ice Age came out. The competition is really going to be next week when Bourne comes out.
That's true.
That might hurt legs a little bit. I don't know. I never watched those Bourne movies, have we?
We should probably see those.
Yeah, maybe.
I heard they're good.
But before that, you should see Star Trek Beyond, because it was fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's even a bunch of stuff we're forgetting about, but just it was a fun, exciting movie.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Start to...
And another thing, it was kind of the first time, too, where, like, Chris Pine, like... looked age appropriate for, like, being
you know,
a captain.
He looks like this baby faced kid.
He wasn't like, why is this teenager a captain? I was like, yeah, he's a captain, sure.
Yeah, we'll go with this now.
Yeah. Alright, well, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store and Google Play Store. Leave us reviews. We always appreciate that. And go to ebpodcast.com to find all of our old shows. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.